From a quarantine studio brought to you by KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. The economic stimulus bill that both the Senate and House just passed includes several $100 million to fund the expansion of voting by mail and other election safeguards. The final amount that is in the legislation is just a fifth of what the original House version of the bill had sought. The Brennan Center for Justice has estimated that at least $2 billion are needed to safeguard the general election in November. Given the lengths that incumbent President Donald Trump appears to be capable of going to in order to win an election, the coronavirus pandemic could serve to thwart election participation and undermine the strength of American democracy at a time when it's needed more than ever. My guest is Derek Johnson, president of the NAACP. He had previously served as a vice chairman of the NAACP's National Board of Directors and the president of the Mississippi State Chapter of the NAACP. Welcome to the program, Mr. Johnson.
Thank you for having me.
So first, as we are consumed by this huge crisis, possibly the biggest crisis this country has seen in the modern era, why are election safeguards for November important?
Well, when you look at the current political environment pre-COVID, we had an environment that was toxic with intolerance and racial hatred, and a president who would do anything necessary to stay in office. And so our ability to safeguard this nation's election is a priority. We recognize that there was interference by a foreign nation in 2016. We were able to overcome interference in 2018 with massive turnout. I think this year's turnout would also be a massive turnout. But now we have to balance between the public health reality we find ourselves in, along with a set of individuals who lack any scruples and would do all they could to subvert democracy and corrupt the election.
So already there are states that allow absentee ballots, right? It's possible to vote by mail if, for various reasons, one cannot actually physically go to the voting booth or one chooses not to. But I understand that it's sort of patchy state by state.
You know, our election is our state-by-state realities. And unfortunately, there is very little uniformity across states in terms of how elections are carried out, the openness of the elections. And states have created mechanisms where there is not equality across the board in how elections are carried out. Some states allow for early voting. Other states only allow for voting 12 hours a day during the work week. Some states have no excuse mail-in or absentee voting. Some states have restrictive absentee voting provisions. Those are all factors we must address coming up in the November election because there is so much at stake with this year's election.
Now, President Trump suggests that everyone's going to be able to go back to work starting in mid-April, April 12th, by Easter. And so by November, there shouldn't be a problem with the coronavirus, right? What do you make of his claim?
You know, I think it's unfortunate that the leader of this nation lacked any factual basis for much of what he does. It's all an emotional reaction based on what would make him look good or bad. We are advising our members, as I'm sure the broader community acknowledge, only to listen to the qualified medical professionals. There is no evidence that we will be past this by Easter. In fact, all the evidence is to the contrary. Social distancing is the number one and most effective way to address this pandemic. We should not encourage anybody to congregate in large crowds or any crowds for that matter, so that we can get past this unfortunate moment in time.
Even if it is okay to go back to normal by November, do you feel that this crisis is going to dampen turnout, that people might still be afraid?
I think people would be even more enthusiastic to go and vote with a clear understanding that this pandemic is a man-made disaster in this nation. That person being the occupant of the White House. This was completely preventable. There are some key things that should have taken place leading up to this moment. But this is a president who for whatever reasons, have an allergy to facts. Facts in this scenario would have presented a case for most Americans so that we would have avoided this moment. And now the pandemic, the health care concern has bled over to everything we do as a society with over 3.2 million people just this week filing for unemployment, the sharpest increase in the history of this nation, recording individuals requesting unemployment. It has brought our economy almost to a halt. The airline industry is destroyed. Many people will be furloughed, laid off, or lose their jobs as a result. We are in an economic public health crisis, and it was completely avoidable, all created by the president in the White House.
There are many indicators suggesting that the lack of early testing was to blame. There was a interesting political article earlier in the week showing that a National Security Council playbook that outlined exactly what the White House could do, the steps it could take in the event of a pandemic just like this, that document, the president was briefed on it in 2017 when he first came into office, and it was completely ignored. We're also seeing reports that the high turnover and huge numbers of vacancies in top posts at agencies across the federal government have led to inaction or confusion and just basically failures. So if this president, who seems so overly concerned with retaining the White House at the expense of our health, if he sees an opportunity to postpone this election or to reduce turnout dramatically, which is likely to benefit him, we could see another 4 years. I mean, lack of election participation benefits him, right?
Well, you know, that would be a tragedy, to say the least. We are working very hard as an organization to make sure that is not the outcome. We've invested heavily in messaging and data analysis so we can target and communicate with our members, our constituency effectively. We've identified the set of individuals we need to increase turnout by in targeted areas. There's too much at stake. Our democracy is being stretched thin. Our economy is on the brink of breaking down, all of which is a result of his poor decision-making and his inability to understand factual information in front of him.
Right. I only cited two examples of the ways in which the government has failed. There's many others, including the Defense Production Act and Trump's refusal to fully invoke that act. So what is needed? I mentioned the Brennan Center for Justice has recommended at least $2 billion in election protection. Because we have the state-by-state, very patchy way of conducting elections, how could $2 billion or some amount like that be put to use for November's elections? Do you suggest that all states implement vote by mail or absentee ballots for all voters?
Well, you know, our recommendation of the NAACP, we even go broader. You know, after the 2000 election, we've seen a federal bill passed called Help America Vote Act, where states were provided resources to purchase new machines. We believe that is a part two of that is necessary. It's been over 20 years now. Many of the machines that was purchased are now antiquated. Touchscreen machines should not be anything we encourage our voters to touch, considering the spread of this disease. We need machines that have paper. We need more precincts so that we don't have long lines. The reason why there are long lines at the poll places, there are not enough polling places. And then inside the polling places, we need to have a criteria to have so many machines per voter, so you don't have long lines. It should be a requirement at every polling place maintain the necessary sanitary products so that we're not passing any viruses one-on-one. There are a tremendous number of measures that should be put in place, in addition to requiring all states to have early voting opportunities, where voting is not only one day out of the year, a 12-hour moment. It should be extended over a two-week period so voters are not standing in long lines. We also need to do away with restrictive precincts. So an individual who leave work or pick up a child from school, sometime they're driving past two, three voting precincts before they get to their designated precincts. We need a system where individuals can go to any precinct so that they're not turned away at the polls, or if one precinct is overloaded with voters, you have a backup. These are basic measures that can be put in place, and it should be a federalized requirement supported with the necessary resources to implement it.
Some suggest that one problem with, say, vote by mail is that absentee ballots are often rejected at a higher rate than ballots that are cast in person. And part of that may be that voters who cast their ballots by mail don't, you know, have access to a poll worker to help them. But are these sorts of obstacles surmountable?
I mean, you know, some of the concerns we have raised are the necessary safeguards, making sure they are in place for vote by mail. You have the rejection of ballots because of handwriting matches, although there are very few handwriting experts who are working at the polling place. You have the question of the loss of the secret ballot process, where people could be coerced or votes could be purchased. You have scenarios that we've seen in Florida where there were ballots delivered to the post office, but the post office never delivered the ballots timely to the courthouse to be counted. There are any number of issues that people are concerned about, which is why we believe that there needs to be a comprehensive package dealing with elections so that outside nations or individuals cannot influence the election by being able to tap into the computer, so that there is a verified paper trail in place, that there are enough machines to put in polling places, that there are more polling places so you don't have long lines. We are overdue in this nation for a comprehensive voting policy overhaul and complete elimination of voter registration. It should be automatic voter registration.
Right.
Voter registration is a vote suppression. There are any number of measures that we should be considering now in light of the public health emergency, but also to ensure that we have a functioning democracy and a true representative government.
Derek, do you worry that at this time when the economy is tanking for obvious reasons, that the idea of spending $2 billion or whatever it's going to take to safeguard our elections in these ways is going to be just seen as money that we don't have?
I don't think it's enough. I think the impact on our economy is a result of a bad election in 2016, we get what we invest in. And so if we want a first-rate functioning governing system that would allow for an economic system to benefit the maximum number of people, we must invest in our election operations so that we have what many of us desire. So we get what we pay for, and $2 billion, quite frankly, may not be enough.
What about internet voting, people being able to cast their ballots online?
Well, many people have expressed, and we share the concern, that the integrity of the ballot
right.
process can be greatly compromised if you have internet voting.
If you don't have paper backups, basically.
We have to have a paper verified system. Because we see in 2016 that our election was corrupted because people were able to tamper with the process. And we cannot allow that to happen in the future. We should learn from those lessons, not deepen a dependency on systems that open themselves up for fraud.
Do you hope that a future stimulus bill, because it's likely we're going to need many more injections into the economy, that those could have greater amounts of funds set aside for election integrity? Is this something that you're calling on the House and Senate to do?
I think it's a priority. I mean, we just seen the stimulus bill number 3. I'm told that there will be a fourth and a fifth. And for the NAACP, we're going to be pushing that elections are placed as a priority. We actually receive the government we pay for, and we need to invest in the government we want. And there's no better place to start with than ensuring an open, transparent, accessible election system.
One of the issues that is coming up during this pandemic is the worry that the U.S. Census is going to be impacted as well. We know that this president has done his hardest, along with his party, to undermine the integrity of the census, to try to include a citizenship question on the census. And even though that question was, and the inclusion of it was struck down, there has been enough fear in immigrant communities. But now with the census being required during this pandemic, when census workers can't go to people's doors and remind them to fill out their forms, are you worried that this is going to be deeply impacted?
You know, we have to keep pushing to educate people to fill out the census. My wife and I, we did our census form this week with the NAACP. For this week, we launched a social media campaign along with many partners, and we called the Black Census Week to push people and remind them in this time of social distancing, this is an opportunity to fill out the census form. The census is about resource allocations, and we need to make sure that all communities accurately report in the census so that the necessary resources can get to the communities of need. It is unfortunate that this administration tried to create an atmosphere to put a chilling effect on the census by adding a citizenship question, but it's incumbent upon organizations like the NAACP networks, like your network, to continue to push out positive information to encouraging people to fill out the census.
Derek, we'd been talking about the general election in November, but I should actually remind our audience and myself that the primaries are not over yet. There have been some primaries that have been postponed. What needs to happen just even for the primaries that are taking place at a time when people are being told to stay at home?
You know, some states have already taken the necessary precautionary measures and postpone the primary to a later time in the year. But this public health pandemic is putting a strain on everything we do, and our primary elections are not immune. I will hope that by the time we get to mid to late summer, we're able to adjust how we ensure that we have an accountable election process so that we can get to November and change who's sitting in the White House.
Now, we've been talking specifically about the paltry amount of money that was included for election protection in the Senate and House stimulus bill that was just passed. But what about the bill in general? There are payouts to a majority of Americans that, you know, go up to $1,200 per adult, $500 per child. But there's huge amounts of money set aside for corporate America. Does the NAACP take a position on the bill as a whole?
Well, you know, the bill is something that's needed. We are still looking at the details of the bill. We have not completed our review. There are some things in there that are, in fact, good. In order for this economy to get the jolt necessary, you have to get money in the hands of people so they can start engaging in commerce once we come out of this economic, I mean, well, come out of this public health scare. There are some industries that were adversely impacted as a result. I would hope that those industries won't do as they did during our last economic crisis and not ensure that the workers are made whole or supported. And they pursued a course last time to do stock buybacks. The money should be utilized so we can keep our economic system moving. And, you know, like any piece of legislation, you have perceived a real winners and losers. And I don't think this will be any different.
And we have to remind ourselves that it's very likely that Black and brown communities are being disproportionately impacted by this pandemic, right?
That's correct. I mean, when you put this type of urgent situation on top of a system that already had structural deficits as it relates to class and race, the outcome would only get accelerated. Particularly around who would receive access to healthcare, who's not, whose interests would be responded to in a stimulus package, what type of information is being shared so folks can understand the questions of access. All of those things simply don't go away when you have a health crisis that simply didn't discriminate against who it would impact. The systems that are in place to respond have shown itself to impact in a very discriminatory way. It is a job for the NAACP and many of our partners to raise the red flag and or advocate to minimize the level of discrimination that we are sure people are going to be faced with.
Well, Derek Johnson, I want to thank you so much for joining us today and spending this time with us. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
My guest has been Derek Johnson, president of the NAACP. He had previously served as vice chairman of the NAACP's National Board of Directors. We've been talking about election protection and related issues in light of the coronavirus. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, find our audio podcast on iTunes and Spotify.